I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Mesut Ozil is in here! Beautiful goal! Walcott! What a goal! It's been flicked in by Alexis Sanchez. A quality goal from the Gunners.
Hello and welcome to the Arsenal Weekly Podcast for the week of Monday, the 31st of October. I'm your host, Russell Hargreaves. Coming up, we're going to hear from Arsenal defender Carl Jenkinson, as well as catching up with the former Gunners midfielder David Hillier, who's our Arsenal insider. As ever, the ever-popular Adrian Clarke is back at the chalkboard. We kick off with the weekend review. Arsenal travelled to the Stadium of Light, knowing that a win would take them back top of the Premier League for a couple of hours at least. And it was Alexis who put the Gunners on their way.
Oxlade-Chamberlain looks to take on the Sunderland defence, whips in the cross, the header from Alexis goes in! Brilliant goal from Arsenal. Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain with a delivery from the right-hand side, the burst of pace to beat the defender, and Alexis bullets into the corner. Arsenal lead by a goal to nil here, and you have to say it had been coming.
Jermaine Defoe levelled the game on the hour mark, but Olivier Giroud emerged from the bench to fire a quick-fire double to give the Gunners some breathing space.
Alexis, left-hand side, Kieran Gibbs, it's through towards Giroud! How about that for an impact? Olivier Giroud off the bench, on the score sheet. Arsenal back in front. Brilliant finish from the Frenchman. Another corner then, Ozil to swing it in, and it's flicked on and in! And it's Olivier Giroud again. Well, Jordan Pickford seemed to mistime his jump there because Olivier Giroud has come across, flicked it up, and it looked like it was going to be a relatively routine save, but suddenly Pickford is jumping rather late and could only help it into the net. Giroud's obviously going to claim it. Arsenal have got a third, and the points surely are heading back down south here.
The informal Alexis then scored his second of the afternoon to put the cherry on the victory, after which the boss spoke about his team's resolve when the game was locked at 1-1.
So I knew you're 1-1, and you think here we are, you know, we missed so many opportunities. And then it was, do we feel sorry for ourselves, or do we bounce back and go again? And that's why I'm very pleased. So overall, I think we combined a great performance with a great mental response as well when you were questioned.
Arsene Wenger was also full of praise post-match for Olivier Giroud's return to the score sheet.
He was absolutely brilliant. He's such a great option to have on the bench, you know, when needed. And overall, I think you could see in training already that he was sharp this week. He's back to sharpness, Olivier. He's worked very hard, like Aaron. Aaron is still a bit behind, but Olivier is there now.
The win was the perfect start to yet another double game week for Arsenal. And we'll talk to our Arsenal insider about all of that next.
Let's hear from another Arsenal insider on the Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
So our Arsenal insider is none other than the former Gunners midfielder David Hillier, who I'm delighted to say joins me now. Hello, mate. How are you?
Hi, Russ. Yeah, really good. Really enjoyed the results of late. So, yeah, happy.
Yeah, boding very well at the moment, isn't it? We'll talk about all of that in a moment, but we've got to get you on, first of all, to talk North London derbies with the weekend in mind. And I guess maybe, first of all, your favourite memory of one as a player, if we could.
Our favourite memory has got to be when I came on as substitute. Gazza playing for Tottenham, and he nutmegged me straight away. But when he went to get the ball on the other side, I did get a tackle in. So I was happy with that. But really good memories, even from when I was in the youth team playing all the way through. It was a game to look forward to. and always probably the first fixture you look to see when it was, try and make yourself fit for it and look forward to it. Yeah, really, really good game.
And then from perhaps a watching perspective, either as a fan or whatever, what would be another one? Probably, I guess, maybe after you hung up your boots with Arsenal that would spring to mind.
Well, I was commentating a couple of years ago. I think Rzycki scored a fantastic goal. The atmosphere at the Emirates was fantastic, you know. And I think that feeling, when you're commentating or doing co-coms, you kind of almost instantly relate to the player when something happens off the pitch and you put yourself back to when you was playing and you felt them feelings. But that goal that Rzycki scored, I think the Ox made a little bit of a hash of a first touch and Rzycki whacked it into the far left-hand corner, really good finish.
So if I was to dare to ask you your score prediction for this weekend, what would you say?
Well, I think it's going to be tight at Tottenham against the losing the Premier League season. So that's one we've got to overcome. But the way we're playing, we're scoring goals. I think it's a bit tight game, but I still think we're 2-1, 3-1 to Arsenal.
Yeah. Okay, that sounds like a fair shout to me, Dave. Now, let's go back onto something you said at the start of our chat, which is just Arsenal's really, really impressive form of late, long unbeaten run, just the one draw, and apart from that, it's all been victories as well. What do you think's really clicked and changed since, say, the opening day against Liverpool?
Yeah, well, I think that opening game, I was there doing the commentary, and it didn't feel like a 4-3 game to me. It felt much more of a 1-1, 2-2 sort of game, but unfortunately, Arsenal came out on the wrong end of it. But since then, like you said, drew against Leicester, drew against Middlesbrough, all the other results, wins. You know, when you look at the table and the form table especially, Arsenal in a really, really good position.
And one thing I've got to really ask you about is central midfield and the midfield area, which of course was your old position. Francis Coquelin is back from injury. He's always a key player. We've seen Xhaka suspended and coming back in the next week or so. It's a really interesting position for me and such a vital one to get right and also get the balance of players right.
Yeah, when I saw Sanizola with Elneny, I thought it may be a little bit defensive, you know, sort of they wouldn't have that flair. Against Middlesbrough, it didn't really work. We were probably missing a creative player in the midfield. When Ozil and Sanchez ain't firing, you maybe need a Sanizola. But then when they are firing, you can have Elneny, who's so efficient with the ball, you know, so many passes, so many touches, covers loads of ground. You've got Coquelin covering all the spaces, defending the space in front of the forward, making good tackles. You know, we saw at the weekend putting himself in, you know, not dangerous positions, but positions that some players wouldn't. He was putting his head into people's feet. He was getting involved in tackles and that. So it's really, it's a bit of an enigma, really, who you play. You can play different players depending on who's going to play when in front. So it's really a battle with Granit Xhaka. I think disappointing to see him get sent off for that tackle. Didn't think it deserved a red card, but unfortunately he's got to sit out now. He's got to work his way back into the side. But I think Arsene Wenger's rotating the squad well. So it's all coming off really well. And I said, with Giroud coming back, Ramsey back at the weekend, squad's just looking stronger and stronger.
And obviously Ramsey can play in that deep-lying role if necessary, or in the three behind the striker, a bit like Cazorla. But yeah, you've got Ramsey in there, Cazorla that we talked about, who I think is key and just adds that little bit of drive to that midfield pushing forward as well with the two very defensive players that we talked about. Plus you throw in Xhaka. I mean, that's five quality names, isn't it?
Oh, without doubt. And two positions. So the manager's got a tough decision and all managers say it's a tough one, but it's one I like to have. And I agree with that. Competition, it breeds sort of people to push on themselves, to be more ambitious with their play. We've seen that with Theo this season. I think he's been much more ambitious. He's not played with himself. He's played on the edge now. He's been on the front foot. And you have to do that when someone's pushing you for your place. So competition for places is what you want at a club.
Let's finish, Dave, with a couple of words on Ludo Goretz this coming midweek. You talked about it briefly earlier, but Arsenal also well-positioned in Europe, got that all-important point in Paris to get things set up. And from there, again, trying to finish top of a Champions League group would be so, so helpful, wouldn't it?
Oh, definitely. I think if they get a good win against Ludo Goretz, Basel's not an easy place for PSG, or it needs a team for PSG to play. So, you know, they're going to be finding it difficult. But I think Arsenal in pole position. You've got to say that a good win against Ludogorets, it's all going to come down to that other game at the end against PSG. And, you know, who finishes top? I think it's imperative to finish top so that we can maybe have a slightly easier game in the next round. We've always been second, so we'll play the top team, so that'll be nice. But it's all set up very good. I think Ludogorets won't be as open as they was when they came to the Emirates. They tried to play football, and unfortunately, they got a lesson. I think the same thing could happen this week.
And just talking about squad depth and rotation again, we talked a fair bit about your old position, Dave, but across the board, one or two options of players to bring in and out for this one as well.
Yeah, it's interesting how the manager's going to rotate the squad, because you think it might be a slightly easier game. So he may afford to play one of the two fringe players. It's a difficult call because it's one he's still got to win. You can't put three or four youngsters out there and think, I'll have a couple on the bench to maybe save me. If they don't come on and save you and you've got a couple of points, it's a big blow. So I think you're there on the side of caution and still play a very, very strong side.
Well, it's a couple of huge games to come. And David Hilly, we appreciate your time on the Arsenal Weekly podcast, helping us look ahead to another double match week.
Thanks very much, Ross. Enjoy it very much.
And it's Adams, put through by Bold. Would you believe it? Or Charlie George, who can hit him. Oh, a great goal!
It's up for grabs now! Thomas! Right at the end!
On the 31st of October 1932, Gillespie Road Underground Station was renamed Arsenal Station after intense campaigning from the great Herbert Chapman.
To many people's eyes, the tube map is London. Arsenal were the only team without a geographical reference in their name, and I think it was very important for the publicity of the club, Herbert Chapman being ahead of his time, to rename that and put Arsenal literally on the map, the tube map.
But I've come on the tube today to Arsenal Tube Station, and that's Herbert Chapman. Yeah, you know, yeah. Even all these years, yeah. Even though Arsene would like to call it the Metro, you know, it is Arsenal on the map, and yeah. Quite literally on the map, and that visionary thinking. Well, if it happened now, you'd say, oh, well, yeah, well done, I thought of that. But in those times, it must have been really out of left field.
This is just another example of the way that Chapman's influence on the club, and indeed the game, is still felt today as thousands of fans make the journey to the station for every home game at Emirates Stadium. We'll have another history lesson next week, but now it's time to talk to Carl Jenkins. Carl Jenkinson returned to the Arsenal team for the first time in two seasons in the 2-0 victory against Reading in the EFL Cup last week. Here's Carl's conversation with the Arsenal Weekly podcast about his time on loan and then recovering from injury.
So, since you've been back at Arsenal, you were away for a couple of years, what's been the biggest change, would you say?
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewellery from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
That you've noticed around the place since you've been back?
Good question. I don't know, really. I think as a team, you know, that coming back, there's generally a lot of optimism about the team and the squad at the moment. Not that there wasn't a couple of years ago, but I think you can sense that there's really a strong belief within this squad, and not just the squad, the staff and the, you know, everyone at the training ground that you come into every day. You can sense there's a, you know, a real belief that we can achieve things now, which is definitely very evident since I've been back, and it's good to see and feel that, I think, as a player.
And how have you changed, would you say, over the past couple of years? It's probably difficult to notice any changes in yourself, but do you feel you've, you know, you're a couple of years older now, anything about you that's different either in your playing style or off the pitch?
I've definitely grown up a lot in the last couple of years. I like to think I've always been quite a mature lad, but, you know, just learning how to deal with, in everyday life, learning how to deal with certain situations and things like that, I feel like I've matured a lot. And I think on the pitch, similarly, you know, I'm better at making decisions, and, you know, it comes with experience. I played a lot of football over the last couple of years for someone my age. I played 50-odd games in the Premier League, which was fantastic for me. And I think, you know, that experience is invaluable. So I just think I've matured as a player and a person. I think that's the main thing that I can take from the last couple of years.
And one thing I wanted to ask you about your time on loan was when you went in goal against Leicester.
Yeah.
Last year, you kept the clean sheet, of course.
Yeah.
How did that come about? Did you volunteer? Were you volunteered by someone else?
No, not at all. And it was bizarre, really. But obviously, no one else fancied it too much. And the boss pulled me over and said, "Do you fancy getting in goal?" What can you say? So yeah, took the gloves, and fortunately I didn't have too much to do. I took a few goal kicks, got some cheers. So yeah, it was all round. It was a good laugh, and I didn't concede. So 100% clean sheet record for me.
So have you gone in goal much in training sessions or anything like that?
Never. I used to, when I was a kid, I had a little go. I quite enjoyed playing in goal. It was good fun, but. No, not in recent years. I tend to stay out of pitch, to be honest.
So were you a bit nervous then when the manager said it? Or you...
Not really. What have you got to lose as an outfield player? Yeah. Gannon goal, you're either a hero, or if you let a goal in, you're an outfield player who's let a goal in. You know, no one's going to judge you. So no pressure at all. I wish I had a couple more shots to deal with. It would have been a bit of fun, but no, didn't turn out that way.
Just finally then, on your rehab, as you said, you're very close now to the end, hopefully, and to making your comeback. Is this a difficult bit now where you can't push it too hard? You've done all that hard work and you're very keen to come back, but you've got to, you know, be patient for a bit longer yet.
Yes, for sure. And obviously that's difficult sometimes. And I think you have to be patient with yourself as well, because in the first couple of weeks, you're still in that adjustment period where your body's getting used to doing certain things on a football pitch that it hasn't done for a long time. So you can find yourself being a bit frustrated with yourself because your mind wants to do a certain thing and your body's not quite ready for it yet. But I can feel day by day that that's improving, and you know, I can feel, yeah, that improvement every single day, which is great. But yeah, it's just all about being a little bit patient with yourself, which is hard because obviously I want to get out there as quick as I can and be playing as quick as I can. But you have to also be realistic. 8 months out, injured is a long time, and you have to take things a bit slowly and be sensible with it.
The Chalkboard with Adrian Clark.
Well, Adrian Clark joins me for the Chalkboard. Clarky, looking healthier now. I believe you were a bit peaky after last week's show.
Yeah, it didn't go too well after we last spoke, but yeah, thankfully back on top form. I passed it on to everyone apart from you, I think.
Thoughtful. Thank you very much for not doing that. Now, our question on the Chalkboard: why have the performances away from home generated so many Arsenal goals?
I think that's a really good question. It has to be said that the opponents maybe haven't been the strongest in recent weeks. I think we've been to Watford, Sunderland, Burnley, and the Hull game. So it's not the toughest set of road trips you've ever seen, but in those games, we've scored 12 goals, averaging 3. So it is impressive. Right, why? The one thing I've noticed tactically is runners from deep. I think that has made a huge, huge difference. And I believe that using Alexis up top has provoked that within the group. He's the kind of centre-forward that will roam, drop deep, and it needs midfield runners, it needs wide men to make those runs in beyond them. And I just think the opposition sides have found it really hard to cope with that. I think Burnley did it the best, but the other sides have found it really, really difficult. We've also started at a high tempo, and I think that makes a big difference as well. When this Arsenal team hit the ground running, move the ball quickly and have those runs that pierce the gaps between full-backs and centre-halves, they're pretty hard to stop.
So let's move on to this weekend. We've chatted about it a bit already, but loads more to ask you, Clarkie. First of all, a crucial 3 points up for grabs in the title race, or a chance to inflict a mortal blow on the old enemy?
Both. I would always go with a chance to inflict a mortal blow on the enemy, if I'm being perfectly honest. It's still a big game. It really is. There was a period, let's be honest, during the first, well, up until the last 5 years, really, where Arsenal were just on a different level to Spurs, and it didn't feel like it mattered as much. But since the Harry Redknapp time, and now since Pochettino came in, Spurs are a good side. Let's be honest. They're knocking on the door of top four. They have pushed us quite close in recent seasons. Not quite close enough, unfortunately, or fortunately from our point of view. But no, it's always lovely to beat them. Look, do I see Spurs as our closest title rivals? I don't, if I'm being perfectly honest. I think City, Liverpool will probably finish above Spurs, in my view. Chelsea and Spurs are around the same level. I think they're in the hunt for top four again. They're very impressive. I think they're a terrific side. But, yeah, this is a very important derby.
So, winless in five in all competitions heading in, four draws and one loss. It's not a disastrous record, but... No. Been a good while since they beat City, which was their last win weeks ago.
Yeah, and that was an excellent performance. I think the way that they imposed themselves on City in that game was outstanding, and it shows what they're capable of. Tottenham, they're so hard to beat. As their unbeaten record would suggest, but they're hard to score against. What they do better than most teams in the division is they make life difficult for the opposition. They will stop you from playing your usual game. And they did that here in the North London Derby earlier on last season, I think around this time. They are awkward to play against, Tottenham Hotspur. But they do also have many threats. Even though Harry Kane's not 100% fit, we don't know if he'll be back for this game. They do have goal threats as well as that solidity, which makes them tough opponents. Arsenal are going to have to play very well to beat them in this match, no doubt about that.
OK, so if I was going to ask you to select a key battle area, I know there's probably three or four, but you can give me a couple if you want and then pick your one.
Well, so many. It'd be interesting to see who Arsene Wenger goes with at fullback, with Gibbs and Monreal. I think Gibbs did really well at Sunderland and Monreal's had a dip. And I'm thinking about Kyle Walker. He, in my view, has been one of their best players this season, and he will power forward, even though they're away from home. So I think whoever's on that side of the pitch will have to deal with the runs of Walker, which will be a menace. That wouldn't be the key, Joe. I mean, there's so many. They're very strong in central midfield. They've got that power with Wanyama and Dembele. That brick wall in front of the centre-halves is important.
Obviously, Dyer can play there if needed.
Yeah, I don't think he will in this game. But, so I think how Ozil fares against those guys is important. But probably from a defensive point of view, I'm a little bit worried about the runs of Dele Alli. He times them excellently. And once he gets in the area, he has the ability to finish one touch. And if Spurs are going to play on the counter, which I think they will at times, we have to track Dele Alli's runs in the box. And that means that Francis Coquelin has to go with him, and he also has to know when to pass him on to a centre-half. So Coquelin v Dele Alli, from a defensive point of view, is the big match-up for me.
And Adrian, to conclude this section, as ever, how do you beat Spurs?
How do you beat Spurs? I would say it's all about us imposing our game on Tottenham. Do not let them affect our style of play. And that means starting fast, putting them on the back foot and asking questions of them. If we can do that and move the ball one and two touch around them, around their press, we'll be just fine.
Clarkie, thank you very much indeed. You can hear plenty more from Adrian as part of our commentary team for that Spurs game. And then, of course, reviewing it all on the breakdown afterwards. But hang on. Peering through the gloom, I see a figure in the distance, Adrian. Holding a Halloween lantern, a pumpkin. witch's costume is Liam Roberts, the Arsenal Weekly.
Well, you've embraced Halloween, haven't you, Liam?
Trick or treat, lads. Trick or treat.
Trick.
It's going to be a horror show for one of you. I think we know who it might be. But, Adrian already knows the results.
Yeah, I do.
Russ doesn't, but based on this introduction, I think you know what's coming. So last week I asked you total shots over the two games against Reading and Sunderland. Adrian, you said...
36.
Russ, you said...
40-ish, didn't I?
You did indeed. Yeah. It was actually 41.
Oh!
So
you're on fire, aren't you?
I played it fairly by your rules as well.
I know. Yeah. I know. Look, no arguments. You're just in a rich vein of form.
It could be over by Christmas.
Like, let's hope not.
Also, it's going to be over Christmas. 10-3 now.
And right. That'd been the scope of it being a double bubble counter after the previous
week. Yeah, I rejected the chance for a double bubble, didn't I? Wise. Yeah, right, come on then, what's this week?
OK, so we're going to do a similar thing. We're going to do two games this week, Ludogorets and Tottenham. I want to know the aggregate score.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah. It's me first, isn't it?
It is, yep.
Well, I think Arsenal will beat Spurs 2-1, and I think they will beat Ludogorets 2-0. So I'm going to say 4-1 Arsenal.
4-1. Right, I think it's going to be a little bit... Well, I think we're going to have a very tight North London derby. Yeah, I think probably beat them 1-0. Ludogorets... What did you go? 4-1?
4-1 overall, yeah. 2-0 in that one.
3-1. 3-1 overall.
3-1 overall, okay.
Yeah, 3-1 overall, okay. Yeah.
I'm going to get upset when I picked one different team.
Wow, knees must.
Okay, so you need 3 points, so we'll see that next week.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
Thank you very much. That's just about full time on another edition of the Arsenal Weekly Podcast. Our thanks to Carl Jenkinson, David Hillier, and of course to Adrian Clark for their contributions today. Remember, you can subscribe on iTunes, leaving us a 5-star review in the process clearly so that you never miss another episode. You can catch us on Acast these days as well. We're back on Monday, the 7th of November. Until then, it's bye for now, and come on, you Gunners!
The Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.